What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with my good friend Jeremiah Stringer, the king of Kentucky backpacking. How are you, Your Highness?
Hey, man. I am good to go. Fully recovered from the vid, and I'm here alive and well.
Awesome, man. Glad to see you back from the virus.
That's so, right.
So you said earlier you still got a cough, right?
Still got a cough. I have a couple cough drops in right now. Not sponsored by Halls, but they're doing
if
the...
If they would like to sponsor us, though, we'll take it.
Oh, yeah, that would be great, Halls, because I'm popping those things like candy.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show tonight, man. If you didn't pay attention during the countdown, you might have heard some Cameo Woo Buddies and All Secure in Sector 7s going on during the music tonight. That's because our guest tonight is the one and only Sean Shug Emery, and we are excited about getting him on here in just a little bit. I want to say something before we get going too far into this. Jeremiah, have you ever said anything and then found out that what you said was wrong?
Literally every single day.
Every single day. I would say probably all of us have done this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I want to give some props out because something happened this past week, and it was a mistake. It was an accident, and the way it was handled was probably the perfect way I've ever seen anybody handle something like this before. And so I want to give some props out to Ben McMillan and the guys from Hilltop Packs. If you haven't had a chance to watch their video on their channel, please watch that. If you don't already have respect for this company, you will have 10 times the respect after watching that video. There was some confusion over how much of their new bear bags were recycled. Mm. And they found out that it was less. They thought it was 100% recycled when they did their research on it and everything. And they found out later that it wasn't. Now, I don't know about you, but most companies I've talked to, they find out they've said something wrong. Usually that means they go into don't talk about it mode.
Yeah.
You know, let's save face. Let's not tell anybody. Let's hide it. But Ben and the guys at Hilltop Packs decided, no, we're going to get out in front of this and just let people know, hey, we made a mistake. And what was really cool was they offered 100% refunds to anybody who bought one of those bear bags. No questions asked. They offered to every single YouTuber or anybody who did a video or something about the bags a $100 gift certificate to Hilltop Packs.
Wow.
As a way of saying they apologize. I mean, you talk about integrity. That's a lot of integrity, man, and highly impressed. And I just want to give them props tonight before we get going too far into this, because that is one of our sponsors that has been with us for a while, and definitely want to give out props when people are doing things the right way.
Yeah,
definitely want to do that
for sure. So, man.
But with that said, we do have a sponsor for tonight.
Yes, hit me.
We have
with
a sponsor
it.
That has been with us for a while, and that is our good friends over at War Bonnet, sewn with pride in Colorado, USA.
Yes, War Bonnet, dude. I was just out in the woods using their tarp. It's actually the Thunderfly, and it is a 13-foot tarp, which offers me plenty of coverage on my 12-foot hammock because I'm a long man, and I need a 13-foot tarp. And they don't just have tarps. They have all kinds of things. They have underquilts, top quilts, hammocks, accessories, anything that you would need to go with your hammock. Also, John, I know that you are familiar with the Ridge Runner hammock, which is a bridge style hammock.
Yeah, a lot of guys that I've been backpacking with use the Ridge Runners. The Minnesota boys, Jeremy and Rob, Midwest backpacker Rob Pelton, both are big Ridge Runner fans. Rob in particular, he did a video, I think it was last year, about his new hammock, how he was moving on from his Ridge Runner. And he moved on from his old Ridge Runner to a new Ridge Runner because he likes the hammock so much. So great company. And they specifically requested that they be a part of this episode, that they get to sponsor this one. So big thank you to our friends over at War Bonnet. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for sponsoring the video. So tonight, it's about time. It's about time for us to bring on the man of the hour.
Yes.
And McMillan also wants to let everybody know he's also good looking. So make sure to get that out there for everybody to see.
Ben's not the only one.
What's that?
Ben's not the only one good looking. We got a good looking guest tonight.
We do. We have probably the guy. He's been called the king of hammocks. He's been called the king of cold weather, the king of Minnesota. Let's just tonight, he's the king of the podcast. Let's welcome into the show tonight, Mr. Sean Shug Emery.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? I'm one of those guys that I don't like to look into the lens.
We get the profile side.
My good looks just may shame you.
I thought maybe you had a second camera caught up, set up, and you just couldn't figure out which one you're supposed to look at.
Hey, I liked your intro. I like any company. I don't know. Did you say Hilltop Packs?
Hilltop yes. Packs.
I'm going to look at them because I love companies that have integrity. And I think that's – integrity is one of those things that's coming back, man. I think it's on the rise. I think we've been away from integrity, and I feel like people are finding it's integral to be integrity-like and have some integrity.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more, man. Who would you like more? I mean, somebody that owns up to their mistakes. You can't ask for anything more than that.
No, do something about it. And also, Warbonnet. I've had a relationship with Warbonnet for years. I always like Brandon at Warbonnet. He's matter of fact. He's to the point.
He is, man.
His videos are like 3 minutes. He says a lot. He doesn't elaborate. He's pithy. He's taciturn. He's not rude. He kind of keeps it to the point. There's not a lot of smile, and it's all business. Makes great stuff. I've used their hammocks. Like, I love my Eldorado. It just doesn't have the shelf that like the XLC has or the Blackbird, but I'd never used the shelf personally as much as a lot of people do, but I love their stuff. I was just out. I use my Superfly tarp all the time, particularly in the winter with the inside pole mod because that sheds snow so well.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that because last time we actually had you on last year around this time. And I don't think that we really talked about hammocks at all. We had just hung out, had a good time.
I don't think we did get to it very much.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, what is the deal with the pole mod?
That inside pole mod, there's a couple like Warbonnet and a few people have where you put two short poles over the top of the tarp and they go into the side pullouts and open it up. And, that's great in three-season weather. But in winter, it creates a flat spot and catches snow.
Yeah.
But that inside one that goes inside the tarp and it just right across the middle, just like that. It just does such a great job of just shedding snow and your tarp not collapsing down on you. And that's always been the pole mod I prefer. And, it's kind of a weird thing to say, but – even though a lot of my gear looks like crap because I'm hard on my gear, I'm also sort of into the aesthetics of the gear I have.
Uh-huh.
And I like the looks of the inside pole mod rather than those two poles across the top. When I do the ones on top, I can't look at my tarp. I just enter by the door and I'm going, I can't look at that. I know it's holding it open. I'd really rather have some line running out. It's funny. We all have these little things about our gear, and sometimes it just comes down to a color or a look of something. It's as simple as that, just at least it is for me.
I'm with you on that. There was a pole mod I saw. We did a hammock hang up in Michigan a couple of years ago, and they had the pole mod actually connected to the corners and then into the middle. So it had two.
Oh, it crossed over. Side.
Yeah. And that was really nice. That was really nice because it gave a really nice shape to the entire tarp.
It totally opens it almost like a tent. You have even more support.
But yeah.
I look at it because I'm inherently lazy. It's going one more pole.
Well,
you say you're inherently lazy, but I watched your last video and I saw how much wood you chopped up and that you actually chopped up
necessary.
Extra and you left it.
I left some because there was some left for me when I got there. There was that little stash between the trees, and it's kind of like, oh man, now I gotta leave some because morally I could not leave that site without doing it. And I know that somebody, you're thinking about the video going, someone's gonna ask me, well, Shug, did you leave wood? Because you didn't leave wood. That's not very good. That's, so I left some. I even left a little bit more than that was left for me. And I chopped a lot of wood because it was so cold, I was staying warm, and I got some, I've got that new fun Grands 4 Brux axe. I like swinging the it's the splitting axe. And I didn't have Jonah or Alex or one of the young guys to do all the work for me. So I was forced to the Lord of Lollygag was forced to do some work. Well, and I don't like it at all. That doesn't make me proud at all.
That's where I saw the pole mod, because I saw that trip that you were on, and it was minus 31 degrees. And I was like, oh, this guy knows what's up. And I think that you had maybe zipped your jacket up around your feet or something.
I always take my big down parka that I bring.
Uh-huh.
And before I go to sleep, to me, it's just a redundancy system. I'm not going to sleep in that parka. So I pull the sleeves inside of it, zip it up, zip the pockets closed, and pull it over the end of my top quilt. Mm-hmm. You know, if you had a sleeping bag, you'd just be pulling it over like an elephant foot, like a little sleeve. And then I lay the sleeves that I pull inside on top of my foot, because for this trip, I needed more insulation on top than the bottom. Uh-huh. I was pretty well set underneath, but I only had a 0 degree. My jacks are better, High Sierra Sniveler. But I had that out about 3 weeks ago, and it got to minus 24, and that was all I had on top. And I wasn't, other than the first night, I got cold feet. And I don't blame the top quilt or anything. I think it was just because it'd been a long day, just dehydrated, tired. You know, when Jonah and I left my house here at 3:30 in the morning, 6-hour drive up to the trailhead, the hike out, all the work it takes to get to a snow camp and do it. And I made the mistake of my feet were just a little bit cold when I crawled in.
Mm.
Once your feet are cold in those temperatures, your down does not warm them up.
That's right.
They're not going to warm up on their own. So, and then I had Superior Gear Hammock, their little cocoon on this 31 trip. I just kind of laid it inside my top quilt. It's just like a little thing that zips onto the top of their hammock, but I have the older model without the zippers. And that jacket over my feet, you know, I'd learned that years ago when I was a ground pounder. Just like if you have an extra vest or, you know, anything, fleece top, and you're not going to use it, pull it over the bottom of your sleeping bag, because any camper, when you talk about them getting cold, it's always the feet.
Always.
Always.
You're dead on with that. And we have some questions for you. We actually have some questions for you already. Like, people are in here, man. They're ready for you. Ben McMillan, first off, wants to let you know that integrity-like is now his new slogan. So thank you for that.
Integrity-like. You know, like integrity-like, man. Like integrity-like. What does integrity mean? That's not a word I'm familiar with.
Who knows what that is? Ruben Razor wants to know, Shug, does your daughter still make the wool beanies?
She does, but she's on hold. And as she always tells me, she goes, Dad, your Shug people, they're so nice, but they are persistent. And she's putting me on a cruise ship right now. And my wife is out of town on the cruise ship with her. I just took her to the airport yesterday. And so while she's on the ship, she's not knitting a lot because she can't really, she has such a hard time mailing them out. She's only back in Miami for a little bit. And you know, then she has to stress to get to a post office with these orders. The best thing is just contact her through her site. And I have that on a couple of my sites, her Etsy site, and just ask her and she'll let you know when she is going to make them again. But thank you, Ruben, for liking that, you know, because if you buy a hat from her, she makes money, and that's money I don't have to loan her. That works out best for me.
Jeff Peters wants to know, if Shug used a tent, which one would it be?
Well, right now I bought a new Henry Shires tarp tent. I can't think of the name of it right now. It's a single. I had the Contrail, but the Contrail is just really small and tight. It's nearly like being in a bivy. Yeah. And I was going to do this hike pre-pandemic out in the Badlands of South Dakota.
Mm.
And it's, you know, you have to carry like all your water. Like, you know, it's the Badlands. You have to carry like gallons of water and there's really no place to hike. So I bought this tent. So if I ever use a tent, that's the one I'd use. But I ain't going to be in a tent.
Wow.
I still have to be honest. That hike, but I don't, you know, I go places where I don't have to use a tent anymore because I just sleep good in the hammock. That's all there is to it.
I agree with you on that.
And my coffee, having my coffee in the morning from the hammock, that is the reason I got into it. And I can't get away from that. I have to be laying up in my hammock, having my Medaglia d'Oro instant espresso in the morning or it's just not worth going camping to me. I don't even like the woods that much. I just like hanging in that hammock.
Just got to get that dangly door up. Here's a question that's, I guess we can all answer this. Does Jeremiah blink?
I have been blinking.
Oh, right there.
I have been blinking this whole episode. Thank you very much. And they were on me about this last episode, bullying me for not blinking.
Last week we were having some technical difficulties with Jeremiah's feed, and so he was a little glitchy. And because of the way it was, it looked like he never blinked the entire time we were on here. So
I think he has very good blink integrity.
Let's see, do a few for us. Jeremiah, show us a few just so we can cut. Oh yeah, you blink.
Look at those beautiful eyelashes.
Blink one eye at a time. It's like doing, you know, it's like doing curls or something like that, you know, dumbbells. Just do one arm at a time. You just blink one at a time.
Yeah. Takes more skill too.
That'll be my go-to technique.
Shug, what happened to Packet Gourmet?
I still use it. Have I not been talking about it? What do you mean what happened?
I don't know. That's their question.
Years ago, I ordered their meals, and I would talk about them on my video just because I thought several of them were really tasty. Like I said, I personally like the taste of these meals. They're a little company in Austin, so every time I'd order, they would not charge me. And I said, don't do that to me every time because I feel a little guilty. I said, you know, if you want to toss in a freebie or two, cool. But don't, like, give it to me because then I feel like I owe you. And I'm only saying I like you because I like your chicken and dumplings. I like I like the Texas State Fair chili. I just like their meals. To me, they taste good. They're fun to make. But last time I ordered, they were fine. So, but you know, during the winter, I wanted to up my game and start cooking more, as opposed to bringing just backpacking meals, which I'll go back to in the spring. But winter, you're pulling a pulk, and you know, it's kind of from watching all these Canadian canoers and stuff going. And I did a canoe trip this summer, did a 5-day solo, really practiced up my canoe skills, which I didn't even have, my paddling skills. And I was going, I want to eat like a canoer. I'm kind of sick of eating like a backpacker.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the truth. That is the truth, man. Those canoers eat well.
They eat well.
Eat very well. If you go out with them,
you know, when you get to a portage or the portage, I say portage half the time, portage half the time. I prefer to say portage, but I never say Mexico. I always just say Mexico. But, you know, I like the portage almost the best because it's like a little mini backpacking trip.
Yeah.
You get to carry a canoe as a hat. You know?
As a hat. That's a big hat.
The biggest hat I've ever had.
There's a question on here I'm curious about. Somebody asked a question, and I'm actually curious about this question too. Because last year, you and I talked about coffee a little bit, like off air, about Turkish coffee, and you kind of gave me some tips on it and stuff like that. But what is Shug's favorite way to make coffee?
Well, at home and right before the show, I made myself an espresso with some Red Bird espresso in my espresso machine. And I went through a thing, and it happened during the pandemic of people kept saying, you know, Shug, you need to have better coffee on the trail. So I started bringing pour overs. I tried 5-6 different ways of making coffee from my hammock, and they all entailed a little bit of a weight and a little bit of cleanup. And again, I'm lazy, and I love my Medaglia d'Oro instant espresso. And I just bring it, you know, bring it in a little, I pour them in a baggie and cut the baggie off and just twist it up like a little corner. And I've got my little fat ounce there. It's got a little crema on top. I like it. I'm back to that. I don't want to goof around anymore. I tried the AeroPress, and that was a little fiddly from the hammock. And then I had to go throw the grounds out, and I don't want to wait for the pour over. I just like boil the water, dump the Medaglia d'Oro instant espresso in, stir, drink. And it always wakes me up. And I like the flavor of it. It tastes dusky, dark, and oily. Diesel.
That's a lot like Jeremiah.
Perfect. That's qualities.
Yeah, the dusky, oily. Yeah, that's a lot like Jeremiah.
Dusky, oily, dark. Yeah.
Yeah,
It's, you know, so I've gone back to that. That's what I'm going to do backpacking at home. I use my Barista 9 every morning to make my first coffee, my first espresso on the stovetop. So I like my coffee different at home, but home is different than the woods. I have a little more time at home. In the morning, I just want to get that caffeine in me. because I like to do my morning report from the hammock. That's my favorite time to kind of expound and talk to my camera, because I've had the night to think about some things. You know, the hike-in day is always sort of forced. You know, you get up there and you feel like you got to be kind of forced to start your talking on the camera and giving way too much info about the trail and the history of the area. And I just always end up deleting all that. I say it anyway, but I just go, dull, boring, not interested. But by the morning, I feel like I have something to say. So I want that coffee. I want that Pop-Tart. I want whatever little something I'm going to eat. And boom, that's sort of a creature of habit there.
Now, we were talking before this. You said that people are trying to tell you about peanut butter Pop-Tarts coming back.
Somebody did say that. They emailed me. And I got a comment today from this guy. And I thought it was the best thing. He said, the peanut butter Pop-Tart is kind of like the McRib. They bring it out. They take it away. They bring it back out again, and they take it away. Because they brought the peanut butter Pop-Tarts back one time. I actually wrote to Kellogg and said, you know, I don't understand the Jolly Rancher Pop-Tart. I said, you know, I don't know if you guys are trying to do this whole Wall Street thing, but if you were to send one of your representatives out on the trail and look at the amount of men that will eat a Pop-Tart on the trail, never at home, but they will on the trail, you know, because they probably have one as a scout. Like, I never eat a Pop-Tart at home. Don't want it at home. Don't need it at home. I try one once in a while and go, just not good here. No. It's like eating a backpacking meal at home. You go,
It's kind of like Spam. I think Spam's the same way. I don't eat Spam at home, but if I'm on trail, I got no problem. Give me that little greasy pack of food. I'll eat it.
Yeah, it's like filet mignon on the trail. So it's different. And I've had people, and I know they're not backpackers, on my site say, Shug, you eat horribly on the trail. And I'm going, well, nobody wants to film themselves eating quinoa. That's the same thing as going, the rock formations here started back in the geological era of the caveman and maybe before Christ. And it's like, no, we don't care. You read that. You're reading that off something. You know, you don't actually know.
You know, I've never had.
I don't care about that. I want to see what you're cooking.
I've never
had a Pop-Tart. You know, and if you whip out those Jolly Rancher Pop-Tarts, I'm stopping that video immediately because I'm going, can't hang with that guy. You know?
I never heard of those peanut butter Pop-Tarts. And Pop-Tarts, that was my go-to breakfast in college. You know, you got a 9 a.m. class or something. Then you grab a little, we called it the devil's breakfast, because it's basically just a bunch of sugar, you know.
And I want to do a video. I found some Tang in my store because I was making some Russian tea for the trip, and I was going, I wonder if they still even make Tang.
Do they?
And when I played football in high school and we'd have the 2-a-days, I'd eat like a blueberry Pop-Tart in the morning or a strawberry and drink some Tang. And then you get to practice and the coaches work you so hard that you end up vomiting over on the side of the field.
Yeah.
Pop-Tarts and Tang coming up is nuts. That is a rough combination. Well, right there.
The color had to be very vibrant.
Fine going down. I don't even remember the color. It was just an awful experience coming out. And I want to simulate it. I want to go back in time and try to make myself hurl.
Video that, please.
I might even eat the Jolly Rancher because that'll make me hurl.
Now that you've talked about it online, you have to actually video that, and that has to be a video you release.
I will say that the lemon Pop-Tarts that they have now, someone called it a lemon meringue. It's the lemon cream Pop-Tart. That's actually a very pleasant Pop-Tart.
That sounds delicious.
That sounds good.
It sounds good.
Let me go ahead.
Outdoor John. Wally wants to know something real quick. Have you ever met up with any gold prospectors while you were out?
No. People see me and they turn around and go the other way. You know, the one thing I realize when you get in your 60s and you're walking on the trail alone, people don't want to talk to you. You know, you're the axe murderer. And that's like when I meet people, I hang my hands up on my hiking poles and go, hello there. And that's probably why they run. But, you know, and in Minnesota, a funny thing is Minnesotans, and it took me a long time to learn this because I grew up in the South like you guys. Well, you grew up, JK, in Wisconsin, but now you are
Ohio. Yeah, Ohio. Yeah.
Well, that's a whole different story, Ohio. I go there and I go, I don't know if I'm in the South or if I'm in Germany.
It's confusing. You know, it's so confusing.
But Minnesotans will just walk right by you and not say anything. Wow. Right on the trail.
That's weird. Know?
And then when I'm walking, I turn around and look behind me, and I see them looking back at me.
Oh.
That guy's not going to turn around and follow us.
That's awesome.
I love that. It's kind of funny.
A little awkward eye contact.
So, no gold prospectors. I don't know that there's a lot of gold in them there hills up there. But
hey, I'm
been hiking in the wrong spot for that.
I'm curious. We were talking about coffee, and I think that you have pretty much perfected the drinking the coffee in the hammock in the morning. I haven't had caffeine in probably like 18 months now, and I know that my next dose of caffeine is just going to be euphoric. But I'm curious if you have any idea how many milligrams of caffeine that you consume on a daily basis.
Let me ask you something. Why have you not had caffeine? is it a religious thing? Are you
no.
a fast? Did your doctor tell you that or something?
My eye doctor, I have this, I don't know what
it is. You've got a chalazium, do you? Have you ever had a chalazium on your eye?
No.
I have, okay.
This is called metamorphopsia, and it's basically, it's like...
Chalazium sounds a lot more fun. Melapopoptia. sounds more like a skin disease that'll kill you.
It does sound more fun, but yeah, I can't have any stimulants, so no caffeine, nothing like that.
I don't drink that much coffee. When I get up in the morning, I make my espresso, but I cut it with water, sort of have an Americana. Mm. And then I have a second out of my mocha pot, which is not truly an espresso. I'm using Medaglia d'Oro ground coffee, but it's mocha coffee. It's a dark, rich coffee, but it's not a true espresso because it's not being pumped out at 9 bars of pressure.
I actually...
The pandemic. Now, let me tell you, way back in the Ithaca ages, when man first discovered caffeine, there was a revolution. Boring.
I just got a mocha pot for Christmas this year.
Yes, and a mocha pot is a very specific thing. That's the way we make our coffee. It's not espresso. People think it is. And if you Google it and really look up on the mocha pot, because espresso has to come out at 9 bars pressure, but it's a European coffee, the Cuban coffee, they use a mocha pot. There's a proper way to use a mocha pot. I have a whole process with mine.
Yeah. I really like it. I was surprised. I never had one before, and I just decided I wanted to get one. And my wife surprised me for Christmas and got one. And
it brews out a really nice dark blend, depending on the coffee you use. I use hot water in the morning in my boiler so it's not on there so long.
That's what I do.
Don't screw it tight. Keep it loose so you don't mess up the gasket. And the minute you start to hear it go, take it off. And then run the bottom under some cold water so you stop that heat. And don't burn your coffee.
Yeah.
Make the pot.
I'm just amazed at the crema on top of the coffee.
Boring! Not interested! Don't know what that means!
The best part about this is, it's our podcast. We can talk about whatever we want to. And they listen to you.
Oh, Jeremiah, I don't know. I don't know how many milligrams I drink. I don't always have an afternoon coffee. I did before the podcast because kind of tired. Took the dog for a walk, worked out, unloaded all my gear today. It's been sitting there. Still kind of tired from my 31 below trip I did. It's just kind of, I'm 63 now. This trips just take me a couple days to get over. But often in the afternoon, I like a nice cup of Irish or English tea.
Yeah, I drink.
Very nice.
I love the tea.
And I just love a tea,
So
you're going to go nuts. Your life will be, to me, you look depressed, son. You just look down. I don't know. The spunk is gone from you. You look like you don't want to be alive. Your JK here is doing all the heavy lifting. You're just sitting there. Your head keeps going.
I'm glad. Thank you for noticing that. It's about time somebody realizes how much heavy lifting I do.
Just like a chunk of meat.
I'll tell you what.
You're like a Barbie being braced. Oh, you'll love it. Screw your eyes. You don't need both eyes.
Just lose the right one.
You got your ears. You got your mouth.
Wear a patch, man. Patches look cool.
That just looked cool.
Yeah, full Dan Crenshaw.
stretches. I'm depending on you, son. Try to do my best. It's up to you to drink the best coffee.
Now, that's good. That's a good segue into our next question. Suge, your music on that last vid, you're writing your own songs, or was that some old-timey bluegrassy stuff?
It's all. I have written songs, but the funny thing is, one I put out, not on this last video, but the funny thing about jam and bluegrass with friends, if you go, hey, would anybody like to jam one I wrote? Nope, not interested. but they're old timey ones. And I've put those on probably 2 years ago. And then I just sort of wait. And for this video, I was kind of going, well, like the last video, I mean, I'll go through periods sometimes of not putting any music on there, but I felt like this video, I had some long sort of B-roll scenes and just wanted to use some of them, like Raleigh and Spencer, and I had a version of Whip and Post, and they're all just jams. They're just me and friends jamming, record them, and then I just kind of trim out the best sections. I leave out the first 5 minutes where we're figuring out the chords and we're all talking, and then 5 minutes in, the song starts to gel, and then sometimes you really get something going because it's just in the moment, it's new, it's not a band rehearsal, and it can come out just kind of what I like the music because it's got a little hair on it, you know. It isn't perfect. It's live. But thank you. Yeah, it's like
it's raw.
Yeah, it's just kind of raw, you know. I'm going to there's an indoor bluegrass festival coming up this weekend. So after I pick Meg up and she can watch Bean, I'll go out there Saturday night, do some picking. So I've been playing the mandolin a lot while Meg's gone and just boning up my fingers, getting ready for the jams.
That's awesome.
And I love singing, but I don't always want to put my singing on a video, you know, because once in a while, you just get your feelings hurt sometimes because you get somebody go, Suge, whatever you do, don't sing.
That's really mean.
That's not nice at all.
I always write back, whatever you do, please don't comment.
That's funny. Miyagi, I've been holding off his question for a while. I should probably put this up here finally. He says, any talk with Danny on incorporating a frost bib onto the cocoon mod in his hammock build?
No, well, you know what we did, Miyagi? By the way, Miyagi, it was really great because on the trip I did with Jonah, Miyagi was telling me about making his pizzas out of flatbread. And I was sitting there going, that sounds good.
Those are good.
About 3 weeks ago, Jonah and I were talking about the food and he was going to do his chili mac. And I said, I'm going to make some flatbread and try Miyagi's style. Now, I don't know what weather he was doing it, but I ended up sort of steaming them a little bit. They were great, man. So thanks, Miyagi. I'm glad we talked about that because I was interested in bringing something. And I'd been really not doing a lot of carbs. And I was going, camping is a chance to have some carbs and candy. You know, all bets are off on camping.
Yeah.
You get back home and get to your program. But camping, it's like eat what you want, do what you want. You know, in that period of time. So what did he ask? Oh, so I did. Actually, Danny and I were texting today, and he noticed on this trip that I had frost on my top quilt. And I usually use this thing I call a frost bib that I hook on the ridgeline of my hammock. And I just, you know, I was out there alone, so I had so many chores to do. I was going, I am just too tired to hook up one more thing. And I thought I would just, it's been a while since I've seen what the frost buildup would be in those temperatures. And in those temperatures, it's not a wet frost. It's just ice. You can just wipe it off. So Danny wrote today, and I know Wilderness Logic used to do it, on your top quilt right there, they used to have like a fleeced patch. I don't know if it was removable. I think it was Velcroed on. So as you're breathing on that thing, it's kind of like my face mask. I don't know if you saw my fleece face mask was just covered.
Yes.
It always just, and I could just put it in my pocket for a while. It'll melt it off. I put it out in the sun, but I usually just put it in my pocket or dangle it by the fire for a second, just get it soft again. So you just peel that little piece off, put it in your pocket or whatever, and clear it for the night. But, you know, with certain temperatures, you get that moisture, that wet on your, you know, top of your sleeping bag or top quilt right there.
Yep.
Not a 31 below. It's icy condensation.
Well, that's actually kind of nice.
It is, and you just whisk it off, you know. So I don't know where that line is where it goes from not being wet, probably 25, 21 degrees, I would imagine, something like that, because it is that warm air coming out. So that wetness is kind of gross. I didn't mind at that temperature, minus 31. All I know is inside my all my down, I was totally warm. And people always ask me, you know, why don't you, how come you're not using a hot tent? How come you don't have a hammock hot tent? Again, I'm too lazy to haul it out. Got to bring a stove, set it up. Number two, everybody I've asked, you have to feed that stove constantly. Mm. So maybe you go to sleep warm, but somewhere that thing's going to go out and you're in the hammock looking down at it going, I don't want to get out. If I got up to pee, I might do it. But I just like sleeping in my gear, my warm gear, and I'll just have a fire outside. I may change my mind on that, but for right now, I don't want to use a hot tent. I've been at hammock hangs where they've had hot tents and people go, come on in, shoot, get warmed up. I'm going, no, I'm acclimated. I don't want to go in there and get all, take my stuff off and get all warm and then have to go. I don't want to go back outside again. You know, I like to stay acclimated. And that's part of my joy. That's the part of it I kind of like. Get warm by the fire outside, but just depend on your gear to sort of keep you warm. That's what I enjoy.
Miyagi, he built a hot tent, and then it wasn't super cold here. You know, it's probably like 22 degrees or something. But I had taken my wife. It was me, her, Miyagi, and Trips, and she loved the hot tent. But every couple hours, I guarantee you, I'd be the one getting up, stoking the fire, keeping the stove going. I was like, no. Then you're going to get a little cold doing that. You got to take your jacket on and off.
I'm going to rent one, you know, some of the outfitters, and I don't want to do it in a hammock. I'll just bring my, you know, I've got an Exped 9X down mat that's like good to like minus 32 and a foam mat. And I would just sleep on the ground because I want to be right by that thing. So
yeah.
I'm going to stoke it. I don't have to get out of the hammock. I can just pop right in there. And, I'd like to try that sometime and like sleep right out on the lake. But I'll know when I'm in the mood for that. Maybe next winter.
Well, I have a hard-hitting question for you. This is a big one. Hunter's okay. Trip wants to know, what's your call here, Shug? You only get one. Hot Spam and jelly cooked on a hot pie iron or old cheese in the coffee?
Oh, what's the first one?
Hot Spam and jelly cooked in the hot pie iron.
That is tough. I'm going to go with the hot Spam and jelly in the pie iron. And I'm assuming that Hunter is doing it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. If it's me cooking it, then I'm going to go with the cheese and the coffee because that is less work. But if he's got the, like my buddy Hickory, who's he's a pie iron specialist, has his whole groove, his oils, his are not aluminum, you know, they're cast iron. There's a whole process. Then it's his thing to do, and I can just sit back and reap the benefits. So if Hunter's cooking, no, Hunter, I'm going for you Spam and jelly. And I would take a nice pepper jelly on that.
Oh, yeah, like a nice jalapeno jelly. That'd be good.
Be nice.
Yeah. So any trips planned with Old Hickory?
Well, the pandemic has thrown off our whole groove for getting our 8 or 9 day trip in. You know, we just haven't been able to get it together, that chunk of time. He's an EMT, you know, he's got a life too down on the farm in Virginia. So we're shooting for spring. We don't make any plans. And when we do make plans, I suggest something, he shoots it down. He suggests something, I shoot it down. You know, we're old friends. And then we just end up getting there and just improvising the trip anyway. We just sort of figure out a place to go. And it's just like when we were kids, you know, it's like, no, I'm the boss. No, you're the boss. No, I'm the boss. No, I'm the boss. No, you're the boss. And so we're shooting for spring.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah,
hey,
be
can
awesome.
I add?
I miss him. You know, I miss these long trips. We haven't done them in 2 years. So, during this whole pandemic, a lot of it is I spent way too much time with myself. And we all have a little bit and our families. And I don't realize how much I like human interaction until I actually get out there and go, oh my God, I went crazy.
Yeah.
I kind of went nuts off people's energy, you know? So looking forward to just hanging with him. Thanks for asking. That was sweet.
Wait. I want to give Jimmy Jazz a big thank you for the super chat. And he just wanted to say Shug's videos are a form of escapism for me. His last one was in knee deep snow while I was in 35 degrees Celsius in Oz. I'll never see anything like that. So it's fun to live vicariously through them. So that's pretty cool.
Well, that's nice. And that trip, I was telling you guys in the pre-show, I enjoyed this trip so much. Like I haven't enjoyed a trip in a long time. just in my soul, in my being. You know, it was just had nothing to do with the weather. It was, I can't even put my, you know, my finger on what it was. You know, it's like this question that keeps coming up on other podcasts. And I love this discussion. And I kind of want to ask you guys what just something to mull, because we won't hit an answer. I don't think there is an answer. Like people go, what is it that makes you go? Or people go, was your trip fun? I'm going, fun is not the word. It's not fun. You know, I know people use the type 2 fun. I don't even use that. I'm going, it's a lot of work. It's peaceful. It's grueling. It's, you know, it's all these things, but it's not a vacation and it's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's character building. It makes you feel confident. It's a Billy Jack moment. And then why do we go? I think it's what I come up with. It's something deep down inside our primordial soul. You have it. You have it. Probably anybody watching this that does it and goes repeatedly, what makes us go? Because, you know, even on a summertime trip, there's a lot of work involved. You could skip all that work of walking and setting up and gathering wood and cooking and cleaning and pooping in the woods and packing and unpacking and driving. You could just sit down.
That's
take
true.
A nap.
Yep.
I think it's kind of because that's sort of the way life is supposed to be. You know, until the last 100, 200 years, life was mostly that simple. You know, now it's really busy. So then you're the way things are supposed to be: simple, provide for your basic needs, talk to people face to face, you know, that are on the trip with you.
Those conversations.
Yeah.
You know, even sometimes talking and just to the camera on a solo. I've been trying over the last few years to be a little bit more transparent, not be a clown the whole time, being a little bit more real and honest, mm-hmm. rather than just being, you know, I mean, I am that way. That is honest, but to try to find, like, if I was sitting there and the camera wasn't running and we were talking more some real life stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you know, I've often thought like, I'm not a hunter. I could be a hunter. I just don't have the firearms for it. I didn't grow up doing it, but I see a lot of animals. And you know, I always talk to hunters who are drawn to go to the woods, but a lot of them go, I wouldn't want to sleep out there alone though. I've had real tough hunters tell me that. And they go, I don't see how you go sleep out there alone. I go, I have a sense of peace out there. Just like you probably have. I don't think you're hunting. I'm sure there are people that hunt in the United States that maybe need that meat and need that. But I think the need comes is like, I need to do it because it's in my soul somehow, or I grew up in that culture. Because, you know, it's like guys that fish, and I go, you know, you can just go buy a fish. They sell fish. I see it in
they do all the time.
The store all the time. Fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh and dead.
Yeah. And if you want to kill, you can, you know, like you can buy one that sits in a little glass thing and swims around for a while. And then when you feel like eating it, just eat it.
My question for fishermen all the time now is going, do you even like fish? Oh, nothing else. I just like catching them.
I will tell you though, I know for me, like if I don't get outside, I go nuts. And my wife, I start getting anxious at the house if I don't get out after a while. And my wife eventually kicks me out of the house and makes sure I go into the woods. And I wasn't like that before I started backpacking. But once I did start backpacking, it just became, it's like you said, I don't know if there's like a way to describe it, but it's just, you have to get there. You're not happy if you don't get out there.
I think we all have the same thing. Like I say, if it sort of comes from your soul, it's like picking music. Like I didn't take up playing an instrument till I was 36 years old. It happened in a day. I was listening to some music in my nut head. I was listening to Bella Fleck and the Flecktones. I turned the radio off and I drove straight to a music store. Like sometimes things just happen. And like camping is one of those things that, you know, you might even hate your first few trips, but eventually something draws you back. You know, it's those people that are too enthusiastic about that first trip. You go, they'll never go again. It's the guy that kind of hates it. And then he's going, why did I hate that? It's because I wasn't prepared enough. Now you want to do a little figuring out why you slept cold. You know, how come you had too much or too little food? You're thinking about your skills. Like, can I build a fire or blah, 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 blah. Or
can I lighten up my gear a little bit?
Yeah. Do you know, I like walking? The question I get all the time from people is, Shug, do you want to do a thru hike? And I go, I don't know that I like the woods that much to be 6 months in there. Like, I kind of like going, but after a while, I'm kind of going, woods had a great time. I'll catch you later. I like being with my wife. I like doing my other stuff. I've never been drawn for that much time, but the time I do spend, I truly enjoy. So again, you know, it's not to get into the hike your own hike thing, but still, where does it, what is it that makes us go? And I think some of it, because one guy we were talking on a podcast about diversity in hiking, you know, that's kind of a whitey sport, you know, a little bit, and yeah, but less so as time goes by. And, you know, if you even go into gender, you know, I see way more female through hikers solo than I see guys the last 10 years that I've crossed on the trail. I'm going, maybe women have a hard time. You know, it's like we all have sometimes have a hard time finding one of our close friends that wants to go camping, where they go, not interested in that, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll go out into a dart league or go throw hatchets or go to a basketball game. And I'm going, I don't want to do that. You know, they don't want to go do it. It's not their thing. So we either have to go solo or you have to meet someone along the way. So it's a complex thing to nail down, but I think it's just worth everybody to kind of give some thought to. And it's a constant thought.
Yeah. And I would say when you do find somebody that will go with you, it's like you have that immediate moment where you look at each other and go, do I have a brother? It's kind of like you're just so excited because now it's like I found a common person with a, you know, a kindred soul, sort of, so to speak.
Well, once and, you go, I think we all have this. And, I, you
it's
know,
amazing.
One of the things I don't like about myself is I tend, you know, I'm a gregarious person. It's, you know, it's easy to look at a person on YouTube and go, that guy looks like a lot of fun. I'd like to have a beer with him. But I tend to keep people here a little bit in real life. It takes a lot for me to really let people in. And I don't like that about myself. I'm trying to open the door to my heart a little bit more, let people in. But right now I just have it cracked just enough to let the cat in and out. You know, I'm not swinging that screen door all the way open. I do sometimes, but you know, you camp with someone, and when you camp with someone that you've never camped with and you realize they're self-sufficient, they either, like Jonah. Jonah's very, very gregarious. He was a guy that I thought would not like camping. And I know him through circus, where Alex is a little more, you know, and then you see Alex kind of do his Joker smile out there. And he goes, dude, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. And it's like, you know, and we've all hiked with people that you go, I can't tell if they're having fun or not. But yep, by day three, you realize, oh, yes, they are. They're just quiet and have their own way about it. You know, they're not talking about it all the time. You just can look over at them. And what I love is that feeling you get when you realize the people you're camping with are enjoying it as much as you are. Just yeah, possibly in a different way.
There's a really good yep feeling. Somebody that I go with all the time, he's got a YouTube channel. He's actually on the last podcast that we done together. Jason, I don't know if you remember him, but he's got a channel called Backpacking with Jason. And, you know, it's so many fond memories that you share. And you get that feeling, man. And you look at each other and you're like, oh, this is it, man. This is right. He had texted me earlier, and he wanted me to remind you that he's a huge fan. I think we kind of already answered his question, though. He asked me to ask if you and Hickory were planning to get together this summer, but you said the spring, right?
You know, we were going to try this winter, but, you know, just time is just flying. I don't know at your age, but at 63, it's like I'm going, it's February 28th already. It's like, you know, I mean, I'm really literally going, I don't have that much life left at the rate it's going, even if I live to be 90, you know. So I'm trying to, you know, I've had some friends and brother-in-laws and people I know who live in their past and everything have done way more clean living. I consider a better person, and they're getting sick and bad things are happening to them, where I'm always going, I'm an alcoholic. I mean, I've been sober, you know, 35 years, mm-hmm, but I'm going, I'm the guy that should be dying and having all these things, not them. Why is it happening to them? And I know we don't have a choice in that matter. No matter how we live, it's kind of fate. It's maybe predestined. Maybe it's genetic. It's all these things. My fear is I'm going to live to be pretty old now. So I'm trying to go, I want to work out and be prepared to live that long, you know, physically. Heart, open the heart a little bit. Just quit being here. You know, I need you to chop some wood. I'm too old. I'm too old.
Well, Matthew gave us another super chat here, and he has a question for you. He says, first of all, salute, Shug. Thanks again for all your knowledge, sharing to all. What is the worst injury you had while hiking?
I had a bad blister once.
That's a rough
pretty,
one.
You know, compared to my circus background, I've not really had bad hiking injuries. Sorry. Is it Matthew?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's Matthew from Quebec. Hey! Bonjour,
that's awesome.
Matthew.
You already know him. That's great.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He sends me a couple of box of treats once in a while and all kind of thing. Bought some of my paintings. Yeah, he's a great guy. I haven't really, other than, you know, cutting yourself with your knife and getting blisters and a little ankle turn, but really nothing. You know, winter camping, I always get this raw nose right here because, you know, you're just
constantly, yeah.
Like, you know, the thing about winter camping, you'll bend over sometimes, you'll have this like dingle ganger just kind of go, wow. Like, I didn't feel it coming. I'm just like, looking around going, God, I'm glad that I saw that. It was just a snot stream, not goopy, just wet snot stuff.
And, you know, and it won't stop.
Constantly wiping. So I always get like a raw, that may be my worst injury because it hurts for like 2 weeks. You just touch it, go, ow, ow. Never realize how much you touch your nose. So I've been pretty lucky, just nothing critical. I've fallen, but I've always, you know, as a circus clown, I fall pretty well. I don't want to be cocky. You know, we can get hurt in an instant out there. And, but I've been lucky and not had, maybe I'm not putting myself out there enough.
I don't think that's it.
I don't think that's it. You know. Hey, Ben McMillan shot us a little super chat just to cover the eye blinking physical therapy fund for Jeremiah. So
I'll buy some.
That was awful nice of him to do that.
$11, I think, will cover that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, not only does Ben run, not only does Ben have integrity, but he's helping Jeremiah with his eye blinking issues.
I like that Ben was going to go, I was going to do 10, but I think 11 looks better. It's like two guys standing side by side. It's like JK and Jeremiah. You know, I'm going to add that extra dollar in because, you know, one for each eye.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
man.
That's how the money gets split on this thing. Jeremiah gets $10 and I get one. That's usually how it works with all the money. Yeah, he runs our finances, and for some reason that's equal, I guess. I don't know, but it works out.
John's got his hand in the pot there.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel lucky. You know, it's injuries backpack, and like, you know, it's like any injury. 1 minute you're walking, the next minute you're not, right?
Yeah.
1 minute you got a finger, the next minute you don't. You know, it went through the saw, and the finger's laying on the ground, and you're pinching it off. My hiking poles have saved me so many times. And I didn't really start using two hiking poles probably till I got to be about 48. And man, just on balance alone, where I've just about fallen and caught myself, I'm going, that Black Diamond flick block, you know, they are always, I would say, my number one piece of equipment. Not my hammock. They just don't get enough dew. You know, like I use them as poles. I've done a video. You can use it as a weapon. You know, if I get up somebody, you can whip somebody's tail with a hiking pole or two. You can nunchuck those things, jab, you know, throw them and distract them, put a Chuck Norris foot upside their head, throw an elbow. You know, you got time, man. That's why I don't wear hand straps. I can flip them. I ain't scared of them. I ain't scared of bears. It's raccoons that scare me.
Shug, I'm starting to think I know why people are kind of giving you weird looks walking through the woods. I don't know. That's I'd be a little terrified if some guy walks up and starts doing karate moves on me.
Is he got his truck and pole swinging?
Only if I'm provoked. You know, it's that thing where, you know, there was one time I passed a group of guys that were a little lippy, you know, and I kept moving because, you know, to be prudent, I'm going, I don't want to stop and get in an altercation out here because I'll probably be the one going to jail. And there's several of them, but I don't like them. I don't like them right away. And they're bringing my anger out, you know? So I'm going to keep moving. And I was gripping those hiking poles pretty darn hard, you know? And that's about the only time I had a weird kind of little experience. And, you know, maybe I just wasn't in the mood.
Yeah.
Felt like they were a little lippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no telling. We got another super chat on here. Big Woo! Thank you to Rusty. Speaking of being more social, curious if any of you guys are going to Trail Days this year. Curious what you all think of that event in general.
Well, that's right around the corner. I've been before. And if you haven't been, it's very interesting. We were trying to get out of there before the parade.
Hold on, wait a minute.
What?
Very interesting.
It's very interesting.
There's a lot of BO and hairy armpits. There's a lot of dirty toenails. There's a lot of people without toenails. It's Birkenstock City.
Yeah, and they have this parade. And
I've seen that.
I guess all the guys go to Goodwill and get dresses and stuff, and then they dress up and march through the parade. It's very interesting.
That's the only reason I would go. I love wearing a frock. It's spring. Well, I never thought I'd go if I was down that way when it happened. I don't ever see myself sort of going out of my way to go. You know, because I performed so many festivals as a performer all my life, and fairs and festivals and things like that I'm not drawn to go to them as just a regular human. But I thought, you know, if me and Hickory or something were ever camping down that way at the time, and we were, you know, within 5 or 6 hours, let's go. We're on the trail, so it seems good. I don't know if I'd feel weird, like coming from home and just driving down without having hiked all clean and stuff. That's just my thought.
Well, speaking of being clean, I have to ask a question. I got to throw a bone to our viewers and our listeners right now because this is really important. So I want to ask you a really hard-hitting question. I hope you're ready for this.
I'm not.
Well, we'll find out. How difficult is it to poop in negative 31-degree weather?
It is not at all. You know, I know people think it's weird, and I used to think that. And so on this one, I was able to excavate the fiberglass thunder box. You know,
I saw
the boundary waters. Every campsite has a fiberglass pooper you can sit on. So it's a turd wrangler. You know, it's all in one hole. And so you go, and I think by the time I had my morning constitutional, it was down about minus 28. And you just drop your trousers, and you have this moment where you sit on that thing, or even if you're squatting, but when you're sitting on that fiberglass, there's this instant moment of freezing cold, and then immediately it just turns to warmth. It's this weird warmth. And you kind of pull your pants up over your legs, but I lingered a while. It's a fantastic feeling. You look down at your thighs and realize how white and pasty they are, and then you watch the little hair stand up. Your body, you know, just think about when you have to take a poop, and when you really got to take a poop, and you know you do, like you have to go within 2 minutes. Your body is really working and churning, and I think it's like, it just sucks all the energy to the core and somehow warms you. And I can't explain it, but it's not horrible. And even if you're squatting, it's not horrible. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the finest poops you ever will have in like minus 28. Fantastic. Woods look better. You know, it's just, and that moment after, the only thing is take your wet wipe and make sure you have it in your little Napoleon pocket for the night. So you've got
or it's going to be an ice wipe.
Or an ice wipe. And I've tried that thing of wiping my buttocks with snow and all that. Personally, you can have that one. I mean, it's kind of refreshing, but there's some fingers. I don't know. It's like fishing. I can buy a fish. I have toilet paper. I have food with me. I have a wet wipe. I don't have to do this. I have a lighter to start my fire, that I keep up against my body so it actually works, you know. And, I hope you get to try it sometime. Just pooping in sub-zero, it's fantastic. It's really, you know, you see these people that take the polar plunge. They like to plunge into cold lakes.
Yeah.
I ain't having none of that.
No, I'm good.
I'm
good.
With others. Pooping in the woods? Yeah.
There's some people.
Way better than a polar plunge.
Some people are asking in the comments.
It's a polar expunge.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Would you only use TP and wet wipes? I assume no bidet and no poop hammock.
I don't use a bidet. The wet wipe is my bidet.
That's a good one.
And a bidet would be really hard in the winter. Now I have a bidet. We have bidet toilets at home, and I do miss it in the woods. But you know, to me, the freshest when I'm walking back from wherever I took my morning constitutional back down to camp with that little spring in my step, and I take my wet wipe, and I always start at my face, I wipe my eyes, corners of my mouth, my nose, get it in my ears, and then I work myself down to my front, and then I go down to the next weird part, and then I go to the little bridge between the weird part and the back, and then I go to the back. So this is as fresh as I'm going to be all day. I'm at my freshest. You know, I feel cheeky.
That's great.
And so it basically is kind of, it's a bidet in a cloth, you know.
That's great.
Yeah, it's good.
We got another super chat here from Tim Lawson. Thank you for that, Shug. I purchased a superior hammock after watching one of your winter videos. I'm looking forward to using it.
Oh, good. Now, I'll tell you about the superior hammock. Danny's a local guy who got in touch with me to try this hammock. And, you know, he's still growing and changing. The guy's not even making a profit yet. He's got a little company. He wanted me to try one of his hammocks. And when people want me to do something, I'm always like, oh, God, I don't want to. I hate change. I don't want to like anything new. And it had the built-in underquilt. And I'd seen this process before, seen people doing it. And I figured I opened my heart a little bit. It was from Minnesota. And I tried his hammock and I went camping in it and I loved it. And I had not tried the built-in underquilt. And I would say for anybody, we all know you can get into hammocks. There's a lot of little things involved with it. Hanging it, your rigging, your angles, your ridgeline or not. Some people don't feel secure. They feel exposed. A lot of people have never rigged a tarp, so they got to learn to rig a tarp. Goes on and on. Top quilt, sleeping bag. How do you keep your head if you can't get it in the sleep bag? Then you get to the underquilt. And that can be the deal breaker for some people. For the price, and it's tricky to set up. So I just use my superior on this minus 31. I use my superior gear 15 degree built-in underquilt and then snapped on a 30 degree one. You hook it up on the ends with suspension and then it's got cam snaps down the edge. And it's he calls it a comforter. It can be used as a top quilt or an underquilt. And it snaps right up under, and that was a 30 degree. So a 30 and a 15 is gonna get me to minus 25, but Danny's stuff is really good. I've slept well below what his ratings are in his stuff. And if you're new, and even for me, experience, it saves me this, having to reach over and just see if it's up on my shoulder. Then you get all tucked in and you realize your shoulder. And again, I'm lazy. It saved me one move and it's just there. It's hooked up. And on this minus 31 trip, and I'm not, if this wasn't honest, because I sort of have integrity, I can take a little integrity. And I wouldn't say this unless I meant it, is when I crawled in that night to go to sleep, it was probably minus 22. And all of us have experienced in summer or fall where you lay in your hammock with your underquilt, and it might take you 15 minutes to warm up underneath. You know, you're feeling like, oh, my butter back is a little cold, but let me just give it time. I was never cold at all from the minute I laid in underneath.
Wow.
Not on top either, but none underneath. So his hammocks have proved it to me, but I think for the new people, it saves a step. And now he's got the Starlight, which is a regular hammock. So if you're a regular hammocker and you just want to use your pad, you can, and then you can add his underquilts to it that sort of snap on. So it doesn't have the built-in. So, you know, there's some guys that are going, well, if I get a 15 degree, can I sleep in 80 degree weather? I'm going, but the built-in, you can't really vent it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
If you use the other one, you can, because you can kind of unsnap your underquilt or just unhook the top and create these big gaps. So I feel like it works. I've experienced it over and over, did not want to like it. And I have to come back every time going, man, I love it. And I just love not having to check my shoulder that little bit
is
down. You know, we all do it. You get used to, if you're a hammocker, that underquilt tug is part of your thing, you know.
Yep.
You don't have to do it with those. So that's all I'll say on it. You know, he wants everybody to be in a hammock. I don't think that's a reality. You know, a lot of people just love their tents. You know, you can't. I don't want everybody to be in a hammock, you know, because then all the trees will be taken.
That's right. It's nice to have diversity.
A lot of people, the perfect mix is some people are in tents and some people are in hammocks. And then you're all, you know, everybody's got a place, you know.
Yeah, everybody can get a good spot.
Yeah, everybody's got a good spot, you know. And so, so I hope you get one and enjoy it. I'll just tell you, it will save you one step in the process, which I think is the most difficult step. Because I've just seen people get frustrated. They've reached out to me and I go, why don't you just go back to your tent? You're stressing out over a hammock, and a hammock should not stress you out and make you cry.
Yeah.
It's even like, even if you're a tenter, or, you know, people get newly into backpacking, you got people that are pretty, you know, wired pretty tight, a little bit OCD, you know, kind of type A personalities, and they want to have everything perfect before they go. And you go, that'll never, ever, ever happen. Just go and fail, but make sure you look at what you do right. You're going to make a lot of mistakes forever.
I think the most fun part about hammocking anyways is experimenting. Because there's so many different ways to do a hammock compared to doing a tent. When you get a tent, you basically set the tent up. But with a hammock, it's like you can do so many different kinds of suspensions, different ways to tie out the tarp. It's just, I don't know. I just find it to be a little more entertaining just because there's so many things
that,
you can do.
There's a certain personality that does not want that.
That's true. That's true.
Or the extreme ultra lighter, you know, that wants the lightest tarp, lay on the ground. And I've always liked fiddling with tarps. I always considered myself kind of a tarp master, even just running tarps over fire pits when I was a tenter. But what I've figured out with a hammock is, like, when I think about my tent days, you pitch your tent, put your rain fly on, you throw your pad in there, you throw your sleeping bag on it, done. When you got a hammock, you know, it's like a high maintenance partner. There's some foreplay and some romance and some coddling and you know, just there's some goofing around, there's some fiddling, there's some back scratch. You gotta run your fingers along his back and tickle it and go, I just want to work perfectly tonight, you know. And I forgot what I was gonna say now, but it dawned on me once, when you sleep in a hammock, you're kind of wearing it. You're not wearing a tent, but you're wearing your hammock because it's just you in there. Mm. And it's wrapped around you. You're in it, you know. You're not on it. You're in it. And I also think that the hammock, you must have that. Jeremiah, do you sleep in a hammock exclusively or just sometimes?
Probably like 90% of the time.
Okay. I think that all hammockers have a bit of that introverted quality in them where they want to go sleep alone. Now, maybe a friend's right next to you, or, you know, hollering distance away, or you've got your own little area. So when you go to sleep, you're over there and you're by yourself. You're not shoulder to shoulder with someone in a tent. And a lot of people like that, two or three people in a tent. They feel that safety in there, that safety of being all, you know, zipped in. And I get that. I don't knock that at all. I understand that. I have a friend who's like that.
I think I feel more claustrophobic in a tent with somebody than I do with a hammock wrapped around me. I think I need to be away from people when I'm out camping and backpacking.
I do too. And some people feel very exposed. They've told me, said, Shug, I feel very exposed in a hammock. I'm used to being in a tent where I can zip the door and I can zip up. No one can see me. And with this, I feel very exposed. And I thought about that. And for me, it's just like when people ask me, why don't I use a top cover or a hammock sock? I go, what I like about the hammock, even on this minus 31 trip, when I open my eyes and push up my little and go, I could see the woods right there. I see the morning instantly. I like that. And I don't expect everybody to like that. You know, we're not all going to like that. It's kind of like driving a convertible. I rarely drive my Jeep with the top off because I realize I'm a redhead. I don't like the sun. I want shade.
You're in Minnesota. So do you use a bug net for those pterodactyl mosquitoes you have up there?
When it's buggy season, I absolutely do.
I don't mind a bug net because I can still see out of a bug net.
Which one thing I love, what I've always liked about the Warbonnet bug nets is it's a little it can be a little of a pain because you stake out that bug net, but it's well off your face, you know. So a lot of hammocks, the bug net comes right up from it, right up that way. So, you know, your head's to one side. So you're right there on the bug net. And all it takes, you know, it's not the mosquito biting. It's that.
Yeah.
And, you know, but with war bonnets, it's away from your face. You can still get that because that mosquito can be right down, not by the bug net underneath. But you were talking about the Ridge Runner earlier. I was in my Ridge Runner. I set it up this year just to get it going. I've been in my Ridge Runner for a while. Put it up in the backyard and I realized, you really have a spacious bug net in that thing, and it's well away from you.
It is.
Because every time I get in the Ridge Runner, I try to lay on the angle, and I realize, oh, you don't have to be on the angle. You can just flop your feet right out, you know. Yeah. So that's one thing I've always liked about war bonnets, bug nets, is you can – it's just not against your face. You've got a little bit of space there.
Yeah,
but it's nice. The sound of the mosquito, not the actual biting. You know, it's just that one –
it's annoying.
It's annoying.
I 100% agree with you.
And you can't tune it out. I mean, it's like a whippoorwill going off all night when I'm down.
You just spoke my truth, man. If you want to talk about a bird I hate, it's a whippoorwill.
Me too, because we have had them go all night long. You know,
nothing ruins my night of sleep like a whippoorwill that can't go away.
Now, an owl, you know, a couple of owls going, yeah, great. But a whippoorwill is just relentless.
Yeah. It's almost like it knows you're there. It's like it's laughing at you the whole time.
It is. It is. It just knows what it's doing.
They're evil. They're demons. Every one of them.
I honestly agree.
Well, yes. You mentioned about the like the hammock and having your own space and all of that. And like,
Hold up. We have to make it. Are you talking about owls or are you talking about whippoorwills?
Oh, for the love of God.
If you're saying you like whippoorwills, I'm nervous for you.
Riff Outdoors comments. I love listening to them all night. The whippoorwills?
He's
probably
man.
In a tent not sleeping well anyway.
Maybe.
So I took a
tent. The great thing is we all love something different. You know, I was at a wedding recently and they had carrot cake. And I was appalled because I kept going, I see you got carrot cake, but where's that wedding cake? You know, that almondy one. And they're going, oh, we don't have that. I'm going, so carrot cake is it? And they went, yeah. I'm going, you know, I got you a really nice gift. And I said, here's the deal. You're going to get married and carrot cake is the only option. That needs to be in the invite so I can reconsider my RSVP.
I'm going to tell you something. We've got some people that don't belong in Sector 7 because Riff Outdoors, he said it's the whippoorwills. He likes them. And Hike with Mike says he loves listening to whippoorwills too.
Well, you know, maybe not all whippoorwills are created equally. But me and Hicks slept in the Linville Gorge one night where it was two. And they came in close. And they went hardcore all night.
Oh.
Hardcore.
I was out with some buddies and I just yelled the whole night, shut up, shut up, shut up. Because I couldn't get to sleep because these stupid things wouldn't stop. Ben McMillan commented on your wedding cake thing, said that marriage won't last.
No, and then also, so you know, they had the carrot cake, and then I was at this other wedding because a lot of my daughter's friends are getting married. So they had three cakes, right? They had your classic wedding cake, which I was happy with. Then they had a chocolate. Here's my thought. I love chocolate cake, but I don't love chocolate cake at a wedding. It's just me. I'm hooking this to the whippoorwill conversation. I went up to the caterer and I said, love the chocolate cake. I didn't love it here because after I've had that beautiful almond tasting wedding cake that you only get at weddings, and I can get a chocolate cake at a birthday party or anywhere else. And then, and then you hit a lemon cake. Too much. Too much. You may as well have just had a carrot cake. So
I can't disagree with you, though. Like, I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, you know, I have the to wedding agree, cakes, like, if I ever had a restaurant, I would serve something called shotgun wedding cake because you only get a true wedding cake at a wedding.
Yeah, you're right.
You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Oh,
the,
yeah, yeah.
The white cake with the white icing. It's kind of almondy, soft. You know, it's just, man.
Beautiful. Just a touch spongy? Just a touch spongy,
yeah. Sometimes almost a pound cake quality, but with a softer.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want a really fluffy one, you know.
It's kind of like if there were mattresses in heaven, that's what the mattresses would feel like.
So we were at this wedding. So me and Meg, I said to Meg, you know, I haven't danced since my drunken days, since my days as a fallen down alcoholic. And I said, we were watching all these movies during the pandemic. And I said, we're dancing at this wedding. I'm asking you to dance now. I don't want to be those sad old boomers sitting at a table with that sickly smile going, look at everybody having fun. We're too self-conscious. So I was up there doing my moves, and my daughter was there, and she was out there dancing with me and Meg. She kept going, Dad, you got moves. And I do sort of what I call the old man, white man shuffle. Just I'm not exerting too much energy. But then after a while, man, we were kicking. We were tie bowing and everything. Meg had a sore knee the next day. We were both going, man, why are my shins and my glutes sore? Because we danced our tails off, and it was joyous. So it's a new thing. It has kind of something to do with the little heart opening up the door there. But, like, we will not be those old people that will just sit in our chairs at a wedding going, oh, look at everybody having fun. Look at the young people. That was, oh, that's so. And I had to go over to the DJ and go, hey, man bun guy. I was very critical of you before you started. I was going, you're going to play the worst music. But he even played some Bill Withers. He played some good music. And I went over and said, kudos to you. I'd tip you, but you got a man bun. So right there. And it's not that I hate a man bun. I'm just jealous that you have the hair for it.
Hey, I don't know. Your last video, you had quite the hair there at the end of the video.
I did.
That was kind of an ode to like Jim Carrey during the what movie was that? A Pet Detective, Ace Ventura Pet Detective with the hair kind of sticking up the sides and everything.
It's that's my ex killer. You know, it's right after you've had your head covered for all that time, you pull it off and go, oh my word. But yeah. So should we talk hammocks more? Is there anything?
Well, actually,
any other? Are we done?
We are 20 minutes over done, but we've been having such a fun time. I wanted to let you keep talking. So,
yeah. Well, I know we didn't talk about hammocks at all last time. I feel like we did this time, but you know, I just want to let me just state this because, you know, I really don't know that much about hammocks. It's just that I make videos, and what I've always wanted to do is when I'd be on hammock forums and I'd see somebody struggling with an issue, I'd go, let me play with that. And then I can do a video that maybe they can watch and help. Some people are visual learners. Some people would rather you type it out. I'm not going to do that. I find it easier to make a video. Mm-hmm. And I think there's this misconception through the whole backpacking world that if you do videos, that you're some sort of an expert on it. And it's just not true. It's just that you do a video.
Not the least bit. Yep.
You know, I mean, I had this funny moment of the power of videos. And I don't know if I mentioned this on the last podcast we did a couple of years ago, pre-pandemic, camping on the Superior Hiking Trail, set up camp. And these two guys come in and they were just, you know, I didn't know if they were going to camp there. They were just checking out camp. And they went, hey, are you the hammock guy? And I said, as I always say, I go, maybe. Do you like the hammock guy? Oh, yeah. Well, then I'm him. We took a selfie and everything. And one of them looks over and he says, hey, man, is that a hillbilly pot over there? He said, this hillbilly pot, my little cook pot that I call my little Imusa pot. And they took a selfie with that pot. And I was going, would you want me in it? Now, we already got one with you. It closed with this little $6 pot just because it shows up in videos. And I stood there and I was going, this is a powerful medium, this visual medium or podcasting or things you listen to, but particularly things you see. You go, you can influence people, good or bad, right?
Right.
In this. Because if this $6 pot, there's two guys taking a selfie with it because it's become a character just because it's in videos.
Right.
And they've seen it. You know, it's like seeing the Batmobile or something. I don't know. It's funny. So, you know, I just want to state that I'm sort of behind the curve probably on hammock stuff unless someone gets me and I say yes to try something new. And I have a lot of people that want to send me hammocks and I go, well, good luck to you. I don't see anything, any new, you know, there's nothing new to your hammock. It's just a hammock that you built. It's just a hammock. But if it's something like what Danny's doing or the Amok guys that have it, or in Derek sent me the Haven hammock, which is kind of he calls it a Haven tent.
Yeah.
And I was curious to try it. I said, it's something different. It depends on a path. I actually like it. it's comfortable. And if I had to go to ground a lot on a trip, I would bring that. I could hang it and put it on ground. But it's like, if it's something different, I like looking at it. If it's just another hammock, not interested. Good luck to you. Just a piece of cloth shaped like a hammock with a bug net. You know, I don't know. Good for you. That's fine. So that puts me a little bit behind the curve sometimes. And sometimes I have to go do some catch up on fabrics and things by doing a video and go, I got to dive in for a week and sort of catch up. And then it was even when Danny sent me from Superior Gear, wanted me to try this hammock. And I said, okay, just so you understand, here's how I don't want to become one of these guys that's just a review guy. You know, I get gear, I review it without even taking it on the trail. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it out and use it. If I don't like it, I'll just give it back to you. Or if you allow me, I'll give it to someone that doesn't have any gear, but I won't badmouth it. I'll just won't show it. But I said, my viewers, they're not watching me. They're looking at everything in the background. What's he got there? What's that? What's that? And I said, if I'm using it and just they see it, I'm going to get this. Oh, what's that hammock in the background? They're going to start asking. Then if they see me use it a few times and then I start talking about it, it's kind of like if there are people that watch me and maybe go, well, if he's using it, he must like it. You know, I do the same thing for things I want to buy or use. And not just in the backpacking world, in other places, mandolins, pieces of equipment. And I go, that guy must love that mandolin because that's all he's been playing for the last 10 years, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
So I told him, I said, and then I will do a little, I don't even call it a review. I call it a looky-see. You know, I'm not going to show every stitch. I'll just sort of show the components and how it works and my thoughts on it. Like, it's good. I like it. It's like with Warbonnet in the very beginning, he just sent me a hammock. He didn't ask if I wanted one years ago. He just sent one. I bought one. I bought a Blackbird, and then he like sent me a Ridge Runner one time. It just came. I was like, oh, okay. You know, and Alex is one of his partners had written and said, you don't have to do a video. We just want your thoughts, which I love when people say that because then you're going to get a video. You know, if you're begging me for a video, I'm going to go, well, how much candy are you willing to buy me? On top of me keeping all this gear. No, I'm not asking for hard cash. I am asking for hard candy. That's not too fluffy, not too stiff. Like a
little bit of an almond flavor to it.
With a little bit of almond and preferably a white icing.
Buttercream.
A buttercream. Oh, but I don't want it. I don't, on a wedding cake, I don't want my buttercream too thick because I want the cake to do the talking.
Oh, yeah. You know,
even when I get apple pie somewhere, can we make that a la mode for you? I go, oh, what are you trying to hide? Now, you bring that ice cream, you save that. You just save that ice cream unless that Haagen-Dazs. Put that in a different bowl. I'll ask that. I just want to try your pie. I don't need anything on it. Don't try to talk me into your snickerdoodle. You know, if you can't make an apple pie, then the rest of your pies are worthless. No pie I love. And I used to eat them at Waffle House, and we don't have Waffle Houses. And I make my own maybe twice a year. A chocolate meringue pie.
Oh, yeah.
You know that chocolate pie with the meringue on top?
Yeah.
That is like the best Southern pie I think there is.
About 3 inches of meringue on top? About
3 inches of meringue.
It's equal pie, equal meringue. Like, it's not one. They're both. It's like
in fact,
6 inches
guy,
high.
When I have banana pudding, I want meringue. Because a lady in my neighborhood, yep. Lucille Dixon, now she used to make me banana pudding when I come home from the circus, bring the house. Now, Phil, my mom's name is Phil, Philomena. She go, Phil, you know, two syllables. Well, Phil, I made Sean a banana pudding because I know he loves them. Not that I like them. I love them. And she go, it's not fit to eat. The meringue is weeping. And she'd set it down. And, of course, it'd be the best, you know, banana pudding I've ever had. But she told me one time, she said, Sean, now I know you love to cook. And I've always thought you're 20% gay.
20% gay.
Like, let's just up it to 22, man. And she told me this. She said, when you do a banana pudding in the summertime, you don't want to use a whipped cream. That cream will taint. You want to use a meringue. That cream will taint, and it'll smell like a sick baby. And those words have stuck in my head ever since. The power of meringue. Like meringue baby. Is for summer in her book.
There you go. Know,
You know the smell of old whipped cream, and you got some on your sleeve, and it smells like a sick baby.
Oh, that's awful.
I just remember going, oh, that is the greatest thing I ever heard. And it just, to me, I went, oh, it's nothing but meringue for me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Shug, man, thank you for being on here. We're going to have to do this again because there's still so much more we got to talk about at some point.
No, I'm always game. You know, it's fun. I'm sitting at home. I'm talking to some people. My wife's on a cruise. The dogs ignore me. I'm just furniture for the dog anyway. That's all I am.
There's been some questions about what she's doing, what Bean's doing. So
he's right here. Let me get it. Come here.
Yeah, I saw the comments. Oh, I love seeing That's Bean great. In the background, laying and sleeping.
He's my daughter's dog, and I'm keeping him till May 28th. And I just love this guy to death. You know, he's a little Chihuahua rat terrier. You see yourself in there, buddy?
He's like, I don't care.
He's kind of funny. He's kind of camera shy, but he's just waiting for me to be done so I can sit on the recliner and tell him I just had the greatest time on the backpacking podcast. Now, let me think back and see if I said anything wrong or controversial.
You had integrity, man.
Integrity.
You are definitely integrity like.
And one of these days, Red River Gorge, I'm coming down.
You got to, man. Yeah. We got to make that happen.
And I'll bring Hickory and the four of us, and you can bring your friends if you don't trust us, because a lot of people going, I'm not sure I really want to go camping with you two.
Well, if we don't bring Jason, he'll disown us. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, oh, yeah, Jason, that's right. Yep.
He'll have bring to come. Him,
and you guys can show us that gorge. That'd be fun to do. I thought about that since we talked about that the last time, and I need to get out of town on a trip coming up sometime soon, you know, this summer. So let's just touch base on that again if you guys are up for it. I'd love
absolutely to do that. Absolutely. Jeremiah's a teacher. He loves that summer stuff.
That summer stuff, man.
I love, you know, I look forward to it.
I'm retired, so you know, I don't do my act anymore, and it's an interesting thing being retired. I think it's gonna be 5 years. Like, it would take something really interesting for me to work again. You know, ever work. I have been making, you know, those face masks I have. People want them because you can't find that face mask like I sleep in, full fleece. Yeah. You know, all face masks now have neoprene in them and stuff. So I've made a few and I'm thinking, well, I'd have to charge $400 to make this worth my time.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But, you know, you think about things differently. Well, like when you retire, you go, it would take something really big to make me want to work again. You know, I would never want to work for somebody. I never did anyway. And then the other part that you think of is going, I mean, I'm from this generation where you feel like you need to be working for your self-worth. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, it's kind of like opening the heart a little bit. I'm pushing that away. I don't. I had a career for 40 years as an entertainer. I did enough. You know, I worked all my life as a kid from the time I was 12 years old on to earn some money. And my wife's a workaholic, so I got myself a sugar mama. There's my controversial statement right there. It was out of line, shit. It was out of line.
That just means you're not sexist.
No, it's true. You know, she loves her work, and she's the one that told me. She said, retire. You've done it 40 years. And so it's like I was even delving and messing with some acting, and I realized even that's too much work. There's no brick and mortar involved, but it consumes your life. Memorizing, making choices, taking that role on. I'm going, don't want to. I don't know.
No, man. Keep living your life. Keep doing what you're doing. You don't have to justify it to anyone.
I know.
All that matters is that you come to Kentucky and hike with us. That's
I know. Somebody said, why don't you get into mentoring? I was going, oh, no. That's a responsibility. I have to nurture. No. So it's really been an interesting road, but I will say as a guy that's 63 and you hear this from old men, I feel busier than I ever have been in my life. I don't know how I had time to be on the road just to get my daily stuff done and things that I do. And, you know, a good 2:30 nap for about 20 minutes on the recliner couch back there, you know, just guilt-free in the middle of the day. That's the best time to do it. Other people are working and I'm laying here mouth breathing.
That's the way to do it.
I think Riff Outdoors puts it best. You do you.
I'm gonna do me, Riff, and you do you with those whooper wheels.
We got to work with him on that one. I'm nervous for him. Like, he's going to have a mental breakdown at some point.
Love those whippoorwill and the personality type of the whippoorwill. And where does the whippoorwill come from? Is it a coagulation of several birds, or is it a pure breed that only goes to the mountains to bother campers? But then there's people like Riff that enjoy it. So I don't know.
The whippoorwill comes from hell. The whippoorwill comes from hell. Like we said, it's a demon.
It's from Hades.
This is not an animal that comes from anywhere else. That is the most evil creature on the planet. But either way, thank you for being on here, man. We are so thankful that you got to do this, man.
Yeah.
And we definitely will make a plan to backpack with you. We've talked about it. We just got to make it happen.
Good to see you guys. Let me look at you clearly now with my glass. Oh, no. Okay. Because I'm looking the whole time dull. You know, like here, you're just colors and shapes.
Which is you didn't like see how ugly we actually are.
I like my people a little fuzzed out. It's kind of like a Monet painting. I like that. What's that big black thing in front of your face? Oh, that's a fancy microphone. Where's mine? Let me show you one thing. This kind of made me laugh and smile today. So, you know, my wife is on this cruise, and we lived in New York City in the 80s. And, you know, my wife's an aerialist. So every day she was doing the Jane Fonda workout. And this is Meg on the cruise this morning. And they had a workout class. It's the 80s workout. It's in this hip gym. It's Virgin Cruise Lines. It's Richard Branson's cruise line.
Wow.
My daughter took this picture. They have all this mood lighting. There's these two guys dressed up in 1980s stuff. And it's like the 80s were our period. We were in our prime. You know, this is where me and Meg were poor. I was the best looking I was ever going to be. we were just in our prime in the 80s. And that smile on her face right there, I don't see that smile a lot.
Look at that smile.
She looks so happy.
She's so happy to be away from me. that, because I was certainly smiling like that on my minus 31 trip. And it wasn't being away from her. It was, you know, I needed to go get a love for winter, because people think I love winter camping. I don't. I tolerate it. I live in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So if I don't embrace winter camping, then I don't camp for 6 months. So it is beautiful, but it's five times the work of regular camping. Plus, it's cold. And there's a beauty at the end of it. There's this beauty. Like I was thinking out there going, It's all about mindset and confidence. It's confidence without being cocky, you know, thinking things through before you leave camp to go mess around. Set a fire just in case you fall through the water, something happens, you come back, you can light that fire. You don't have to get that wood up. You know, learn that from the old timers up here. Have a fire set all the time. That's so you can just light it and be ready if you need it, you know. And, you know, I think in backpacking anyway, there needs to be this little bit of confidence. And then, like, when people that don't backpack are going, what about bears? Are you nervous and all that? And I always say, backpacking to me, this is my analogy, it's like driving a pontoon boat. You know, you got your pontoon, you got six or seven friends drinking beer in the back, you got your captain's hat on, hey, you're talking to everybody. You look like you're doing nothing, but you're constantly scanning for jet skiers, canoers, power boats, like you're vigilant without being all, you know, nervous about it. You're checking and backpacking is like that. There's a light vigilance all the time. Just looking, checking, looking for animal scat, what's on the trail, you know, a weird rock, something you could step on and be weird. You know, just you're vigilant, but it's not a nervous vigilance. Just a, you know, it's that spidey sense. It's just a low-lying spidey sense that's tuned into the woods, you know.
Yep.
That's so accurate. I never even thought of that. That
like
is
driving a pontoon boat. You got to look cool and casual. All righty. You know,
that's so true.
That's a great way to look at it.
And I think about that every time. You're tuned in, but not like jumpy. You're just ready for nature. You thought it out. You do the best you can. You'll have to improvise if things get drastic. And I've had a few people go, well, you're really stupid to go out in that cold alone. Going, I know that area. I have my InReach Explorer. It wasn't calling for blizzards. It was going to be cold. It wasn't like some people think there's a blizzard. It's like watching, you know, when you watch Rudolph, that old cartoon, and you know what's his name, Cornelius, you know, the guy with the big mustache.
Yeah.
Well, what is his name? And he's always, he's after the Bumble, Yukon Cornelius. I'm Yukon Cornelius. And he's and Burl Ives as the snowman selling to, it was the blizzard of 19. And people think that it's a blizzard all the time here. And it's not. It was just like a summer day out there. It just happened to be minus 31. It was just minus 31. You know,
that's great.
That's all it was. It's just like a beautiful sunny day, just really cold and covered with snow. So there is a beauty to it, but it's a lot of work.
Before we sign off, I know that everybody has enjoyed this episode, and if they want to tune in more to you, could you tell everybody where to find your stuff?
Pretty much on YouTube under Shug Emery. And I wanted to give a little shout out to my friend Jim in Germany. Schönen guten Abend, Jim. Hey, woo, buddy, der Hagenbrusten. I'm only on YouTube. I don't have any other social media. Again, I'm lazy. It just requires more typing. But I'll answer every comment on YouTube, and I'll answer a question. And thank you for anybody that came and tuned in tonight and watched this and was a part of it there in the background. Even you, Riff, with your love of your love of whoopowills. I think I loved you the best.
Well, and make sure you go back and look. There were some questions we just couldn't get to. Make sure, if you get a chance, go through there. If you want to answer those, you can. If you don't, you don't have to either. But if you're interested, there were a lot of questions during the chat today.
Well, great to see you guys, and thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Good day, gentlemen. Bye-bye now.
Oh, man. That is always – he's awesome, man. So much fun. I wish people could see what just happened. Like, we have a green room set up. We can still see his camera. All of a sudden, you see just his eyeball filling the entire camera just now. Man, great time. Great time tonight.
We got Kelly Hayes on next week. People's been following her Appalachian Trail journey.
Soon to be PCT journey.
Yes. Keep on stepping.
Yep. Keep on going. She apparently likes to be in the woods for 6 months at a time. So
yeah,
we're going to talk to her about that next week.
Yeah. Awesome. But I wish we could have got to all the questions tonight. I know that everybody had a lot of fun. We didn't get to go through all of them, but definitely have Shug back on. We'll talk more and see everybody then.
You know what we miss hearing?
What's that?
It's all secure in Sector 7.
That's what we needed to hear up there at the end. But with that said, thank you so much, guys, for tuning into the Backpacking Podcast. We look forward to meeting up with you next week. And for myself and Jeremiah, we'll catch you in the next one.
Yeah. Adios, folks.